Welcome to Knowles Abroad, a podcast by Florida State University International Programs. I'm Hannah.
And I'm Zoe, and we're your hosts. On this podcast, we'll talk about study abroad from the perspective of the students, faculty, staff, and alumni who make it an experience worth sharing. We'll also bring you travel tips and fun facts from around the globe.
For this episode, we talked with Dr. Kathleen Paul, director of FSU London. We'll hear about Dr. Paul's own study abroad experience in the United States and how study abroad students gain cultural capital when they travel. Thank you so much for joining us today. If you wouldn't mind, could you go ahead and introduce yourself to our listeners?
Of course. My name is Dr. Kathleen Paul, and I'm the director of the FSU London Study Center.
Wonderful. And could you tell us a little bit more about that? What is your role at FSU London and what led you there?
Well, I think it's fair to say that my role as director at FSU London is more than a job for me. It's my vocation. It's my passion. I'm absolutely passionate about studying abroad. And every day I love what I do, and I'm grateful for the opportunity that I have to do that and for the opportunities that I've been given. And I think my passion for study abroad, my joy for study abroad comes from my own experiences. I was lucky enough when I was a student to be offered a scholarship to study abroad, anywhere in the world, in fact. And I chose the United States because I had grown up watching American TV and American movies, and I kind of wanted to see what it was like in real life. And I'm delighted to say that America did not disappoint. I completely fell in love with America. And I was very, very lucky that my original one-year plan was extended for over 6 years of study, by the end of which I had received a PhD. And after which I then took up a position in Florida as a professor of British history, and so lived and worked in Florida for over 20 years. And as a professor of British history in Florida, I would encourage my students to study abroad, knowing how much it had changed my own life. I wanted it to change other people's. And many of them did. And I wrote lots and lots of recommendations for students to receive scholarships. So you can imagine then when I was offered the opportunity to lead the FSU London program, I jumped at it, right? The chance to share my London, my United Kingdom, my Europe with cohorts of students to come just could not be resisted. And again, it has not disappointed. Whether I am teaching British history of the monarchy by touring Buckingham Palace, or whether I'm teaching political history by touring the Houses of Parliament and 10 Downing Street, or whether I'm getting to know students while walking around Stonehenge at sunset, or sharing a meal with students, any of those things that could happen any day, each and every day, this job has been and continues to be my dream job. So I feel very, very lucky.
I love that with your story, we kind of get to see the other side with you coming to America. And then a lot of our students are obviously Americans going overseas. So it's kind of nice that you started out that way.
It's good to see both sides. And it does mean I have a lot of empathy for the students when they come, because I can remember when I was first going overseas and how excited I was that I can remember that they had a pizza and ice cream party organized at 4 o'clock my first day. And I just kept thinking, how American is that? Pizza and ice cream. It seemed typically American. So now I make sure that my students have afternoon tea when they arrive.
I love that. That's amazing. All right. Well, can you give us a brief history of FSU London?
Oh, yes. Actually, FSU London began in 1971 with faculty and students coming over for 6 months and living and studying initially in temporary accommodation. But as numbers grew, so the demand for a permanent location began to be searched for. And I'm happy to say that that's our current location where FSU London moved into in 1992. And that's in Bloomsbury, which is right in the heart of London, right at the very centre. And the building itself dates back to 1685. And when you walk in to the FSU London Centre, you get a sense of just how luxurious and how glorious, really, those early aristocratic days were. Whether it's the sweeping staircase as you walk in, or the stunning fresco on the ceiling, or the beautiful wood paneling with the gold trim, all of these are kind of testament to the luxury lifestyle that was lived at Great Russell Street over 350 years ago. But, you know, we've had a lot of notable people living in the centre. We've even had a grandson of Charles II at one point living in the centre. But no matter how famous or notable those people have been, as far as I'm concerned, there is no better use for our building today than what it currently is. We have seven stunning 17th century townhouses, right from 98 to 104 Great Russell Street. And those townhouses have been redeveloped, redesigned, reimagined, so that they are now the ideal home for our FSU London community. Oh, and actually, I forgot to say, we're celebrating our anniversary next year. So I think in that time, we've educated thousands of seminars on hundreds of programs. And if you think about it, when people first came, they came for 6 months, which was wonderful. But now you can come for a spring break. You can come for a 4-week, 8-week, 12-week summer program. You can come for a fall term, spring semester, a whole year. You can come and study for your major, for liberal studies, for your electives, an internship. In fact, I think it's fair to say that if you want to study abroad in London, we'll have the right program for you.
Absolutely. I studied in London for just a week during grad school, and just listening to you describe the study center just brings back so many amazing memories of just walking through the computer lab to get out into the sunroom and getting to walk back. My apartment was one of the flats in the back, so you had to walk outside and it was beautiful. Oh, it was amazing. So it's so nice to hear you describe it again and just brings me back.
Absolutely. Oh, good. Well, as you know, Hannah, we have 26 different flats and each of them is unique and has its own particular qualities.
Absolutely. But mine was definitely the best. It was my favorite.
I'm glad to say that every student thinks that.
Of course. Of course they do. Okay. Could you tell us a little bit, what do you think the relationship between FSU London and the surrounding location or the surrounding community is? What would you say that relationship is like?
I'd say it's very close. We're very lucky because FSU London is actually right at the center of London. If you look at the tube map, which is the subway map of London, you'll see that Tottenham Court Road, which is the center of the map, that is our nearest tube station. So we couldn't be any more central if we tried. So this means that we have the British Museum is 2 minutes walk away, one of the largest and most impressive museums in the world and free to enter. The West End theatres are 5 minutes walk away. Trafalgar Square, Houses of Parliament, 50 minutes walk away. So this means that students are able to make themselves at home in their neighbourhood. London is a very walkable and a very safe city. So whether it's taking a walk along the River Thames at night, whether it's going to visit Churchill's underground bunker, from which he directed World War II, whether it's having a drink in one of the local pubs, right? Students are becoming Londoners. Students are immersing themselves in the culture of London. And it's a kind of, it's almost like a set of skills that you can't get from a textbook, right? This is experiential learning. This is learning by doing. So, and this is part of our sort of academic focus, that we have class excursions that go out to all these galleries that are within a stone's throw of the centre, or it might be a museum or a restaurant or a small business or a neighbourhood. Basically, if it exists in London, we'll probably have a class excursion there. Now, these excursions are not just for fun, but they are, in fact, a great deal of fun, right? And they're led by professors who are specially chosen for their passion for teaching. Professors that want to encourage students to do their best. Professors that want to mentor students. And so what you often find at the end of a semester is that students have excelled academically, even beyond their own expectations.
So what is unique about studying in London specifically?
Well, I think it's the opportunity to become a Londoner, right? By navigating across and into the culture of London, students become Londoners. They become members of that city community. And that's something that they'll never lose. Whether 1 year or 20 years pass, when they come back to London, they're coming back to their city and they're saying, this is my London. This is the cafe that made the coffee the way I liked it. This was the early morning route that I discovered for my best jog, right? This is the park that had the deck chairs where I could take my textbook and that perfect cup of coffee and sit and read for class. This is the London that I came to know, that I became a part of. You're not an observer when you study abroad. You're a participant in the city. You become a member of the city. In fact, I think you could almost say that you acquire something, I think, that's quite intangible, an asset that's, I think I would call it sort of cultural capital, right? This is something where you get to know a city. You can't get that from a textbook. This is something you get to know how the city ticks, what issues matter to Londoners, what newspapers are read by different political parties, what TV shows are the talk of the water cooler, or in England it would be the kettle, right, when people make their tea. So that's becoming part of London. And I think that personal development not only shows and helps you mature and illustrate your independence, but also for your professional development is good for future employers and for law school and grad school. It shows that you have an intellectual curiosity that says, I want to learn more about the world. I want to be a part of the world. I am that global citizen. I am that person that can cross cultures and feel as at home in one culture as you do in another. I know for myself, I was very fortunate that having lived in both countries, when the aeroplane touched down at Heathrow Airport, I would feel to myself, oh, I'm home. But when the taxi turned the corner in Temple Terrace in Florida and I saw my house, I felt, I'm home. And I think that's what study abroad can do. It gives you that feeling of being at home in several cultures.
That's such a lovely way to put it. And it's something that's so fun for me to see as the person in the office that gets to supervise our IP ambassadors, getting to see all those students come back from their study abroad experiences and just the, like you said, the cultural capital that they've gained and just the awareness and the knowledge and they're just the critical thinking skills that they have because they've been able to live in both cultures and both communities. It's just, it's so cool to see those students and the ways that they grow through their study abroad experiences.
It really is, isn't it? You're seeing students who've developed that awareness that difference is not always better, but understanding why it's different, that's the key. And not judging, but understanding. That's what comes from it. And that's one of my, you asked me at the start about my role as director, and one of the favorite parts of my role is getting to know students. I spend a great deal of time with students, whether it's hearing what they've done over the weekend, whether it's hearing what they've done on their independent travels, whether it's talking to them about their classes. I may take a group of students out for lunch, or I may chat with them in one of our offices, or I'll talk with them on a group meal, or maybe we'll get to chat while we're walking on a cultural expedition, and sometimes even surfing with them in the Atlantic in Cornwall. You can't do that and not get close to your students. So you're right. Seeing the transition and the transformation in students, that's really the best part of the job.
Absolutely. I can imagine. Okay, we have one final question for you. This is just a fun one. We're asking all of our directors. So we want to know, what is your favorite traditional British food?
That's easy. For me, it has to be fish and chips. You just can't beat it. Fish and chips from a chip shop, right? Fish and chips in England, it used to be served in newspaper. So they don't do that anymore, but they do serve it in plain white paper. And you cannot beat fish and chips in Covent Garden, sitting outside the city early evening. Everybody's going to their theatre or their bars or their clubs. They're walking around and you're sitting tasting some of the best fish and chips you can have. Or different setting, we do a day trip to Brighton on the seaside. So sitting on the English seaside with fish and chips in hand, plenty of salt and vinegar, make them nice and soft, big fat chips they are, and wonderful fresh fish just caught probably that day from the sea. Sitting there as the sunset comes down, you just can't beat fish and chips.
Amazing. That sounds so good right now.
Good.
My favorite part is always the vinegar. Alrighty. Well, that is all we have for you. Thank you so much, Kathleen. We really appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome.
Yes, thank you. It's been a pleasure. Before we disembark, let's chat about tea. Traditional afternoon tea in England was introduced by the 7th Duchess of Bedford in 1840. Dinner was eaten late in the day around 8 p.m., so afternoon tea was started as a way to stave off hunger. The Duchess invited her friends to tea, and it soon became a widespread phenomenon. The 1920s marked the height of the craze when pageantry such as guests, musicians, fine linens, china, and silver teapots were introduced.
Traditional afternoon tea consists of tea, finger sandwiches, especially sliced cucumber sandwiches, scones, clotted cream, and fruit preserves. Many Brits enjoy afternoon tea in the comfort of their homes, simply with a cup of tea and a biscuit. Our students today enjoy this British tradition as part of their study abroad experience.
That's all for today. And as always, thanks for listening. If you're enjoying this podcast, please tell your friends and consider leaving us a review on Apple Podcasts. Here's a sneak peek from our next episode with Dr. Ignacio Massana, director of FSU Valencia, where he talks about what makes Valencia unique.
And it's the combination of the size of the city, the beauty, the climate, the importance of the Spanish language and culture, and having the beach and the sea as part of the city.
Thanks again to our guest today, Dr. Kathleen Paul, and to you, our listeners. This podcast is a production of FSU International Programs. The music for this podcast was composed by John Bartman. Our logo was designed by Vanessa Gire. Editing, transcription, and research is done by us, Hannah Meister and Zoe Crook.